Kako. Welcome to the Aloha Friday Conversation, Art, Culture, and Ideas in Hawaii. I'm Noe Tanigawa. Thank you so much for our time together today. I mean, I got to thank the team here at the Conversation, Catherine Cruz, Bill Dorman, the whole team for another great week. And it's been a kind of a chilly week, right? I just put on another jacket. How many of you are wearing socks at home right now? Well, have you seen the handsome snow frosting Mauna Kea? How's that? How about we start over on Hawaii Island? Throughout this pandemic, Hawaii Island's been an example of effective housing and food aid distribution. Just this week, Kristen Frost Albrecht, executive director of the Hawaii Food Basket, was helping with an Ohana food drop in Waimea. When we talked last year, we talked in May, Kristen said her food bank normally fed about 14,000 people a month, but that the need had doubled to 32,000 last April.
And then as we progressed, it turned into 80 to 85,000 that we were serving, and about 85% were unemployed due to the pandemic. That was sort of how we ended our year. Those are really big numbers. That's six times more than we were serving at this time last year.
That's staggering, Kristen.
It has been.
How have you managed to fill the gaps? When I talked to you last, your Big Island farmers and ranchers were your biggest source of food.
Yes, we have been so fortunate because I think we've had extraordinary support through partnerships and collaborations from our farmers and ranchers and fishermen, as well as our donors. And I have to say, truly extraordinary, our staff. All of those things have worked together to actually meet the need that we have been meeting.
Really great to hear that. Where are you seeing the pockets of greatest need? Because as this has unfolded, we've seen the greatest need actually in agricultural areas, Kristen.
Yes, we definitely see agricultural producers in our lines. I'm so sorry to say. The market, you know, at restaurants, the resorts are a huge market for our producers. And so that really has changed things. I like to think that we've helped to provide also an emergency food market. Yesterday, we were in Waimea and we were able to give out to our Ohana Drop participants frozen ulu as well as frozen kombucha squash that had been steamed and frozen, I should say. So it's really easy to prepare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and delicious and nutritious and all those great things, and all harvested and processed on Hawaii Island. So we do include at every Ohana Drop also fresh produce that's sourced from our farmers.
Well, you've been one of the great conduits to, you know, coaching farmers along on your island. What are you seeing among farmers? Are they making a living? Are they able to kind of patch a living together from the demand on island?
I will say a couple things. One, we're seeing a lot of interest in farming, and maybe it's people who've had backyard gardens and they have a couple acres and they decide to move up from their backyard garden to actually planting a crop. We're seeing a lot of activity in that. And many times, say somebody has 100 limes and we need 600, we can buy from six different farmers 100 lots. So we like to think that we can help grow those farmers into a bigger business, or at least provide them with that guidance early on.
Invaluable.
It's really important because it all makes such a difference. Whether you're growing at home for your family and your extended family and friends, I think all of this really makes a huge difference. I keep hearing about people who've started gardens because they're not working and they start initially in a garden pot and they're growing, and they might be growing lettuce and green onions, and suddenly it's like, it's such a thrill. Then they expand that. And so I think the other thing that we're seeing is people are being very creative. If they had counted on a particular market, they've expanded their partnerships. They've gone out looking for customers, and I think they're finding them in many cases. And so I think there's been some lessons learned of don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? We always hear that.
Diversified farming sounds really good, but somehow we've really got to make this so tailored to communities, and we've got to make people willing to pay a little bit more.
Yes. And I think the appreciation for what it is, what it really means to eat local. I mean, if you eat an orange that's grown down in Pune, you know, Pune oranges are just delicious, and you eat an orange that's been shipped from the mainland, you will instantly know the difference. I mean, there's just no, the quality is superior. And so I think that people, when they try that and they start to realize that, you can look at that cost difference and go, oh, but I'm going to get so much more for my money. You're going to get a lot of more pleasure for sure.
I'm so glad you chose that example of Kona oranges, because there's a perfect example of a fruit that does not look like your perfect icon of an orange. Often they look a little scarred and not quite the coloration you expect. Right. There's a big navel on it, but let me tell you, those are the best.
They are the best. Yesterday in Waimea, we had four different types of avocados.
Oh my God.
We had this great conversation as we're passing out food at the line about, so what's your favorite avocado? And everybody's kind of into it. You know, it's the Charwil or the Kahuluhu or, you know, the Yamamoto. And everybody is sort of, what I think of, it's food literacy. We're all joined in this. And the more we can discuss and get excited about it.
If people in the world really knew the range and variety of avocados we grow in Hawaii, they'd be flying here just to eat those.
Yes. And honestly, we can't ship many of them. You know, there's only a couple types that are approved for shipping. So we do have an incredible local wealth of food that
Man.
You can't eat anywhere else. And it has been so much fun to see that awareness build. And with that, the awareness of understanding our local food system, what we're growing actually means food security. I think the biggest challenge is of changing over to, I don't know, a taro burger and ulu fries, although we have wonderful locally grown beef. So I should actually mention that too. But you know, there's a shift that happens. It's not going to be opening so many packages. We can do it here. Ulu flour. I was just talking to Donna Shapiro not too long ago at the Ulu Co-op, and they're making ulu flour, which makes wonderful products.
Food products that we never had before.
Yes, I think that that's the other shift we're seeing with farmers, is they are thinking out of the box. We need more processing. We need a lot more processing facilities available. But it is exciting to see some of the very cool things. I was just hearing about freeze-dried just about anything. We just heard about a large dehydrator that somebody purchased just for bananas. Apple bananas, dehydrated apple bananas. They're an excellent, excellent snack.
What do you think Hawaii Island's food system could use?
Definitely processing facilities. There's one type of processing that I think would make such a big difference here, and that's high pressure pasteurization. We were just talking about avocados, and high pressure pasteurization is widely used. Say we have one today, it goes through the high pressure pasteurization process. It will be in a year, most likely still in the same state as when you opened it just a minute ago. It is part of the cold chain, so you do need to keep it cold, but there are other processes that can extend the life of products, make them shelf stable. And I think those are things that we really need to see on this island to make us truly food secure.
Well, the forces you've marshaled to sustain your operations this far point to connections that are going to be a really strong foundation for going forward.
Yes, even though we've been through a lot of crisis, Kilauea lava flow, Hurricane Lane, U.S. partial government shutdown, all of those things are things that really affect food banks. It's been so heartwarming, honestly. It's very touching to watch everyone come together and work together as one to serve those who are in need. And as soon as people get back on their feet, they're our first ones knocking at our door to help out somebody else. But I have some happy news. We saw a big decrease in Kona at our last big Ohana drop. That was 2 weeks ago. And what we're hearing is people have been hired back either at the resorts or the restaurants. Many of them are part-time or temporary, but it still made a sizable impact. We saw a decrease between, I believe it was November and January, of about 1,000 people. That's huge. We're still serving about 2,800 there in Kona, but that still was a sizable decrease. The other place was last week, and that was at Volcano. And because of lava, we are noticing that there are a lot of people visiting to see the lava lake. And so we saw another substantial decrease in need at our Ohana drop at that site as well. Those are the only two sites that we've seen, but it is an indication that things are starting to round the curve. And I think that's a really positive place to be.
Thanks. That's Kristen Frost Albert, Executive Director of Hawaii Food Basket, Hawaii Islands Food Bank.